The story you're about to enjoy is a factual tale, read to you from a fictional location. We believe.
Madam, a gentleman is here to see you.
What now?
A gentleman. The card reads, Demon Lover.
I don't have a demon lover. Well, not at the moment, anyway.
No, sorry, the candlelight. Dave Glover. He's here for a private reading.
Private reading? What lunatic agreed to that?
You did, madam.
Oh, fine. Send in Mr. Lover.
Glover, madam.
We'll see. Welcome, kind sir, and dear guests, to the Midnight Library. I'm your humble and harmless host, Miranda Merrick. It is my great pleasure tonight to shed some much-needed light on the true nature of the time-worn phrase, Christmas spirit. If you travel in the right circles nowadays, and are brave enough to boldly step outside the socially sanitized norm, you will most assuredly gain the knowledge of a little-known movement to return to a time when the celebration of Yuletide in the past was much more mysterious and unpredictable. And fun. Distant echoes of this dusky past can still be heard today by those who are carefully listening. Those dated, old, unrealistic Christmas songs you've heard a million times, do you really know the lyrics? Not only is there one that mentions Satan in the very first verse, God rest ye merry gentlemen, but another that touts the philosophy that the holiday is the most wonderful time of the year, holds promise of something that doesn't fit in with all of the sleigh bells, joy, and roasted chestnuts, scary ghost stories. Now, why would that be? Believe it or not, Christmas long ago used to have a much more dangerous and delectable flair to it. Going back a few thousand years, the season, which long before it was in celebration of the birth of Jesus, was referred to as Yuletide, and was a 12-day-long time of hunting, feasting, and merrymaking. It had the pagan celebratory rituals of burning a Yule log, decorating trees, hanging stockings, and giving gifts. It also welcomed the presence of spirits and ghosts due to the belief in the blurring of the boundary between the living and the dead during the winter solstice, the longest night of the year. A somewhat modern mirage of this can still be seen in the famous Dickens novella, A Christmas Carol, when Mr. Scrooge is visited by one miserable ghost and three haunting spirits. If you would like to begin a little Yuletide celebration of your own and invite a few festive phantoms round, you're just in time, as the charming old season begins on December 22nd and continues through January 2nd of the new year. In millenniums past, the Yuletide season had even more to offer than your run-of-the-mill wispy apparition. Yuletide was born out of the northern European countries and was believed to be the time when the old gods were preparing for the new year. The god Odin was said to host the Wild Hunt, a thundering clatter of crazed hunters on horseback that included all manner of beasts and beings in the frenzied pack. In addition to gods, half-gods, and spirits along on the fevered quest, there were also devils and ogres, vampires, demons, and witches. Now we're talking. The Scandinavian, Germanic, and Celtic celebrations of the Yuletide were rife with all of these colorful characters and more. Each region's landscape was rich with the telling of frightening tales of terrible creatures who lived in the mountains and pits and caves. There were even malevolent spirits bound up in the forests, lakes, and rivers, and all of them were now free to roam the earth and interfere in the fate of men and children. Children were often the focus of attention on these long, dark nights, huddled for warmth by a dwindling fire. There was nothing to do but listen to the stories told to them by their elders, who had gloriously lived to tell the tales of those who hadn't lived to tell the tales. These eerie, dreary nights were the perfect setting to impose a little moral cautionary instruction. There were countless stories of ill-fated, wicked children who were snatched from their beds by a towering devil-horned Krampus with glowing orange eyes and a long, sharp tongue. The lucky children were only interrogated by the horrible half-goat creature who demanded they give an account of why they had not obeyed their parents. They were then chastised by the hulking beast, or even given whippings with birch branches. The unlucky ones, who could not explain their bad behavior, were flung into the huge basket upon the brute's back and never seen again. In Greece, children were told of the terrifying Kalakantzaros, a demonic creature that was equal parts werewolf, vampire, and goblin combined. From the past during Yuletide and continued on with Christmas, for 12 days over the holiday, this wild fiend was freed from the underworld to kidnap as many misbehaving children as he pleased. Wayward children on the verge of being incorrigible were told even more grimly graphic tales, such as a warning of the possible visit from Frau Perchta or Berchta. From the Austrian and Germanic regions, the witch Perchta, in some versions of her story, had the ability to appear in two different forms. If you were good, Perchta would appear in your house as a beautiful, graceful woman who kindly placed the gift of coins inside your shoes. However, if you were bad, Perchta even had another name, a nickname she had earned, the Belly Slitter. Hopelessly wicked children were told how Perchta would appear in their home as a horrific grizzled hag with an iron nose and hiding a long sharp knife in the folds of her raggy old skirt. Any no-good child, or even adult, was at risk of Perchta slicing them open and replacing their guts with straw. And perhaps the most petrifying monster of them all, in Iceland, the children still to this day are dreadfully frightened of a visit from Grýla. Icelanders never pull their punches, not even for their children. Grýla, the Christmas witch. In these freezing climes, every child knows there's no kidding around about Grýla. Insatiably hungry and indiscriminate in her choosing, Grýla will fly down out of the mountains on her broom, swoop down and pluck up any kid she wants. It makes no difference to her if the child has been good or bad. She's only interested in how they'll flavor her stew. It is said that she's had three husbands. One she apparently became so bored with that she ate him too. Grýla is the mother of the 13 Yule lads, grotesque trolls who take it in turn to storm through the villagers' homes to wreck, menace, and harass anyone and everyone. In kindlier fashion, but still technically a witch, Italy is home to Befana. In a story thought to be as old as the birth of Jesus, Bifana was host to the three wise men on their journey to greet the Christ child. They even invited her to travel with them, but she declined, saying she had too many chores to do. After they had departed, she regretted not going with them, and quickly gathered gifts of her own, and jumped on her broom in a panic to find them, but they had gone. She flew aloft on her broom, laden with gifts for the longest time, downhearted that she wouldn't get to give the presents to the baby Jesus. But then it occurred to her the best thing she could do was to give the gifts to all of the other children. And that's what Bifana has done ever since. How nice and boring. Oh well. From Mr. Darling and myself and the entire staff here at the Midnight Library, we hope you enjoy your exciting holiday with your doughy, oversized elf or whatever. Please visit us again sometime when you've come to your senses. Good night. Thank you for seeing Mr. Glover out, darling. Do you know if he seemed to enjoy his reading?
Oh, indeed, madam. He looked very satisfied, but he hasn't left yet. I think you must have put the fear in him because he's asked me to walk him through the woods. He says he's worried about the thing in the forest.
You are the thing in the forest.
That is the rumor, madam.
Good night, darling.
Very good night, madam.
The Midnight Library is co-produced by Tess Feifel and Astonishing Legends Productions and is edited by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell with music and sound design by Ryan McCullough. Special thanks to Miranda Merrick and Mr. Darling. No part of the show may be reproduced in any manner without express written consent. Copyright Astonishing Legends, all rights reserved.